From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of September, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will join us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. Where? At willag.org, willag.org. Or if you prefer, check out our podcast online. Just search for the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week in your favorite podcast applications. Places like Stitcher and SoundCloud, NPR One, Spotify, Google Play, and the Apple Podcast Store.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn 0.75 cents lower on this Wednesday at $3.685 for its settlement price. The March at $3.77.5, down a penny and a half. And May futures 1.5 lower at $3.83. July corn down 1.75 at $3.86.5. November beans 5.25 lower, $10.14.5. The settlement price January 10.18.75 down 5.75. And March futures there at $10.13.5 down 5.5. Next year's November 3 lower at $9.56. The bean oil down 98 cents at $32.69. The bean meal up $4.80 at $342.10. July soft red winter wheat 7.25 lower, $5.60.75. The settlement price, the hard red July at $5.08.5 down 7.25. Live cattle futures, October contract 67.5 cents higher for the day at 107.15. Feeder cattle in the September at 142, up 30 cents, and lean hogs in the October $69.50, up $1.17.5 on the afternoon. Energy futures finished, the crude oil are down about a penny at $38.79 a barrel. Ethanol down 1.5 cents at $1.31. Heating oil or diesel fuel 0.9 cents higher, and gasoline on the RBOB up a penny and 0.1 cents at $1.17.5 for the day. Natural gas at $2.12. 28.6 cents higher on the afternoon. Jackie Vakes now joins us from Total Farm Marketing at Hollister, Missouri. Hey, thanks, Jackie, for being with us. We sure do appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy being here, Todd.
Let's start with the support and resistance levels this week.
On December, we've got support at 368 and resistance at 387. Crossover line is at 380. March, 374 support, 393. Resistance, crossover point is at 418. If you look at beans, that's where we've seen the most change this week. 989 support in November, 1043 crossover is 903. And if we would close below 1011, which is the old downtrend line, I would say that that would give us at least a short-term down. We did go down and touch it today, but that's as far as it went. January support, 996. Resistance 1042, crossovers at 9.25, and we're trading near the downtrend line. And the downtrend lines are, this is based on the high from June of 16 at 1192 and May of 19 at 797.75. And so one of the things I want to point out is if you brought up a monthly chart, if any of our listeners brought up monthly charts and they looked at this, on a continuous chart, you would see that this rally really respected the 50% and the 62% retracements of some of the large moves. And so there's a lot to be said for the technicals. We have to make sure we stay on top of it. Dow Jones, support 2688, resistance 29568, crossovers at 24730. U.S. dollar index, support 9206. Resistance 94.65, and this is the first time in the last 6 months where we've actually had a higher high than the months before. Not necessarily a good thing for us. Managed money, they're long 28,000 spring wheat. They were long 25,000 soft red. Corn long 66,000 compared to 58,000 last week. Beans 223,000 compared to 199. We're closing in on that record number. Soy oil, 91,000 versus 93. Soy meal, 63,000 versus 40. So the only one that actually went down was soy oil, and that was by very little. Everything else went up, but not as much as we had seen in the week before.
How are the exports holding up?
Well, we've got wheat exports running 8% ahead of a year ago. We were up 8% last week, so we're staying right on with it. The USDA is predicting 1% increase for the year. Corn is 7% ahead a year ago. It was up 28% last week, and USDA is up 32% for the season. Soybeans are 6% up on the year right now, up 49% last week, with the USDA having a 26% increase forecast on the year. So, yeah, we're getting off to a start. You know, it's just the beginning of the season. We're just past September 1st, so we'll get her going. There's no question about that.
You mentioned the long-term retracement levels and kind of respecting what was happening in the marketplace. Is it easy to be bullish the soybeans? Because it sure seems like it has been for quite a few people.
Well, it's hard really not to be bullish beans. You know, when you look at the recent trade action, you know, how can you not be bullish? You're rallying in the face of harvest. You know, even with the uncertainty of continued China buying, we continued to see, you know, China buy. So that has helped us. But I think one of the things that you have to keep in mind is that this isn't necessarily going to be for everything. So if you're sitting back and you're feeling comfortable at the price we're currently trading at, take a good look at a put. And if you don't want to do it on the crop itself, use it to protect the price for the October crop insurance period. You know, if you look at the February price at 917, you know, the November price right now is a dollar over that. So why wouldn't you want to do something to protect that price? It's money you've earned already. But if we roll around into October and we decide to take a pullback or have a pullback, it's going to be gone. So I think there's good justification for getting a put in place.
During the growing season, you've been giving us updates of weather and five-state yields. Have you followed through on this week, too?
Well, on the yield side of it, I didn't do anything, Todd, but on the weather side of it, we saw the soil moisture decline this week just in one state. One state improved. 16 states actually were down and one state remained unchanged. The ones with the best soil moisture were North Carolina, Minnesota, Tennessee, Kentucky, Wisconsin, and the lowest soil moistures were Indiana, Mississippi, Nebraska, South Dakota, and North Dakota. So, you know, Illinois and Iowa have stepped out of those categories, so, which is a good thing, I guess. But, you know, it's one of those situations where, again, you know, we're getting to the end of the season, and the key will come when it's coming across the combine. We're hearing a lot of different, really varying yields all over the place. And I talked to some people this morning. They're hearing 50 bushel yields out in Nebraska, 100 bushel yields in some places in Nebraska. We're hearing 40 bushel yields in some places, 80 bushel yields in other places on beans. You know, it's just all over the place, basically, is what it is. And so until we get deeper into harvest, and we're ahead of where we normally are on the five-year average, it's going to take that type of information, I think, as well as the grain stocks report, which comes out next week, Wednesday, to give the market enough information to go either way.
Turn your attention to the southern hemisphere. I'd like to start in Argentina today because they've been awfully dry. And that's been tough on their winter wheat crop, of course, which is now into early spring at this point. What are conditions like on the ground there?
Well, they're still dry. You know, planting for corn and beans is really off to a slow start. I mean, they're always way behind Brazil because they're further to the south. But they don't have any beans planted at all. They only have 6.5% of the corn that's in the ground. You know, and their wheat crop has been a challenge. You know, they had the freeze. They've had so many different things going on. But other than that, there isn't much going on down there. Right at this point in time, their economic situation continues to be poor. I think the farmer just feels somewhat lost. They have been able to sell some corn and some beans over to Brazil, which is not, I mean, you know, they do that sometimes, but not all the time. And so I guess that's good news for them. But there just isn't as much going on. The La Nina situation, which is affecting Brazil also, is going to keep them dry, I think, for a while yet. And yet, you know, you look at the bigger picture, and they have a much broader planting window when it comes to beans than what we do, but a much shorter corn window, just because of the fact that, you know, from the time that they have to make sure that when that corn is pollinating, you know, that they're not in the heart of the hottest time of the year. And so everybody seems to be hopped up about beans, and I think the real issue is going to be more the second crop corns that they plant down there. One of the things that they were talking about in Argentina is that maybe some of the farmers will give up some of their soybean land, depending upon what the weather does, but that remains to be seen.
Anything additional out of South America, whether that it be on Brazil or maybe we can move on to China?
Brazil, you know, Brazil too is extremely dry. They, you know, soybean planting has just barely started right now. And at the moment, only farmers with irrigation, and that's only about 5% of all the farms down there have started. There too, you know, they can plant beans into mid-October and still expect normal yield. So one of the things I think that's interesting is there's a group called the Rural Syndicate down there, and they're estimating that their members have forward contracted as much as 70% of their soybean production and 60% of the anticipated safrinha corn production. And, you know, they're really concerned because these guys have been extremely aggressive, excuse me, mostly because most of their sales are at prices lower than where they are right now. And they only have a really small percentage of the crop left to sell. So, you know, it's going to make it tough. In other words, they're probably going to try and hang on to it is what's going to happen. And with the weather problems that they're continuing to have, what happens if they don't produce enough grain? We know, right, to meet contract commitments. they're going to be forced to purchase more expensive grain to fulfill those contracts. And so I'd be saying, make sure you buy a call, you know, to be able to pay the difference. But they're really warning the farmers down there to be careful because they do think that La Nina could result in the drier than normal conditions over the next couple months. I think one of the things down there that affects us is we actually sold 30,000 tons of rice to Brazil. Brazil lifted the tariffs on rice and their stocks are extremely tight. You know, that's a big staple in a Brazilian diet. So corn and bean stocks are tight, too. So there's speculation again this week that we'll probably see them suspend the current 8% tariff until the end of the year. So the sharp devaluation in that Brazilian real, I can't stress enough how important the currency exchange rates are, has made it more expensive for them to import from some of the other countries that they would normally go to. And so that's favorable to us. We'll have to wait and see.
Let's wrap up with China for the day.
Okay. AgriCensus had a very interesting article. Kafko, which is one of the larger crushers, is reportedly selling Brazilian cargoes for October, November, and then buying U.S. Gulf cargoes for November, December. And they're working what we call arbitrage. Everybody's heard of arbitrage, you know, like on the trading floor. Trading floor, it might be for an eighth of a cent. Here we're talking $4 to $6 a metric ton, and that means they could have a $250,000 difference per cargo. So, you know, those reports are coming out of China that these two state-owned buyers, Synagrain and Kafko, are buying the beans, you know, basically to help them meet the phase one trade deal commitments with the U.S. Isn't that interesting? You know, I didn't think I'd ever really see that printed, but I'm glad to see it. So it's nice to see the markets being positive. It's nice to hear the excitement in the voices of the people. And yet, you know, I've seen this happen so many times. We get into harvest and we have great opportunity and we're so deep into harvest, we forget about it. So I think that we have enough information and especially with the radio station like yours that you bring it out them, they can't forget about it. Let's just put it that way.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. All because of you and the rest of the analysts. Thank you so much for being with us for the day.
Yep. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. That's Jackie Vex. She is with Total Farm Marketing. Hey, do visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find the closing market report, commodity week, the opening market report, all for you to listen to anytime you'd like. Just click and play right out of the website. And if you scroll down just a bit, you'll find more information like a list of stories that comes from the Farm Doc team. That includes the agricultural economist and the crop scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You probably heard the interview I did with Gary Schnitke yesterday about how CFAP, that's CFAP 2, changes farm income in the state. You can read that story online as well, as it's written by Gary Schnitke and company. And also, Joe Jansen had detailed the CFAP program and what the calculations look like. Well, That story is there too. So check it out at willag.org, willag.org. It's just a click away. You can listen to the Closing Mark Report, Commodity Week, or other programming and read information from the ag economist and crop scientist here on campus. On this Wednesday, we're joined by Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. I hope you're enjoying the weather here in the States. It certainly is very pleasant at the moment, with the exception of the Delta.
Yeah, well, the weather's been really nice. It's been cool in the evening, great sleeping weather, all those sorts of things. Feels like fall, right? I guess, well, we're in fall now, officially, so I suppose it should feel like fall, although sometimes it doesn't this early in the season. Can you tell me a little bit about the smoke and what effect those western fires have had, if any, across the middle part of the United States?
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of smoke reported in a lot of locations throughout the western part of North America. There for a little while last week, they had smoke up in Canada's prairies. Earlier this week and last weekend, we had it right here in the middle of the country. Very thin layer high aloft. It has been reducing some of the sunlight that's been reaching the surface. So we've had maybe just a little bit of a shaving down on some of the temperatures across mid-America. I don't know that I could sit here and quantify it very well for you, but certainly the light has been a little bit dimmer, I think, than what we would normally expect with the kind of weather pattern we have right now. But there's not much other impact. I think there was some conversation out there in the marketplace that all the fire smoke was going to cause more nuclei for moisture to collect around, and we would have crazy amounts of rain, but that certainly is not true.
Let's stay with some broader context for the moment. La Nina, is that a lot of noise, or is there something to it?
No, it's not a lot of noise. We are seeing some aggressive cooling taking place right now across the equatorial eastern Pacific Ocean. The surface temperatures there are definitely dropping fairly quickly. The result of that is a quick shift in atmospheric conditions around the world that will be noted as we go forward over these next few weeks. This particular La Nina will probably peak in November and December, and by the time we get to spring, it is supposed to be abating. The influence over these next few months will probably be greatest in parts of the U.S. hard red winter wheat areas and western corn belt. And by that, I want to point out the fact that rainfall is going to be notably below normal in these areas over these next few weeks. So that is going to take the relatively good conditions that have been present in the plains up until now and turn them to a little bit of a dryness issue with some emergence and establishment problems, perhaps as we get into October and November. So we'll be watching that. Of course, the Western Corn Belt has done a little better with rain here recently, but the change in weather is not going to be able to prevail through the next few weeks and maybe even a few months. So precipitation will be less than usual in Iowa and Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and maybe even up into parts of Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas. Not a big deal for harvest, but maybe a concern when we get to spring. In South America, there's already a lot of chatter about some of the busted rainfall that was supposed to occur this week across center west and center south Brazil. That is a byproduct of the La Nina evolving. The rainfall has been rather poorly distributed, and that should also prevail as we go through the first half of October. And so there's going to be a lot of frustrated soybean producers in Brazil that will not be able to get their early crop in the ground as quickly as they want to. And of course, there's some concern about Argentina. There's already a drought in place. I'd be real cautious about that. Argentina is going to get some significant rain here Thursday through Saturday, and so there will be an opportunity here for a little bit of relief to that dry bias. It's not going to be the start of a rainy pattern. La Nina will work negatively on some of the eastern parts of Argentina, so we'll keep an eye on that. And of course, eastern Australia should get a lot of rain from La Nina. South Africa should get a good rainy season this year. And Indonesia and Malaysia's palm oil production will probably come out a big winner with a big increase in rainfall there, as well as in the Philippines. And maybe even India will be a little wetter than normal over the winter.
Since you've made your way from North America across the southern hemisphere and back up, we probably ought to stop in Europe real quick to see what their conditions are like, and then come back here to the United States to detail the forecast for the next week or so.
Yeah, you bet. France has had a really tough year. They were pretty dry last autumn, and they had too much rain, and then they got dry again. And of course, many of the winter and spring and summer crops have all suffered in France because of all the adverse weather. And neighboring areas of Germany, Belgium, and the UK have also suffered from that. But that is changing. We're getting rain now beginning to develop across parts of Western Europe, and that's going to prevail for the next week to 10 days. It will reach into many areas into eastern parts of the continent, but some of the southeast will not do very well. This will include places like eastern Bulgaria and southeast Romania. And then, of course, there's Ukraine, which is still suffering from dryness to a rather significant degree. And they will get two little waves of showers moving through some of their wheat and rye production areas, as well as rapeseed country, as we go forward through the next 7 days. But the amount of rain is still going to be a little too light for a big turnaround there. So they're going to still be waiting for a big soaking of rain. And of course, Russia's southern region and Kazakhstan are still way too dry for planting, and they will not be able to put a seed in the ground until we get significant rain to fall there.
And finally, here in the United States, what do the next 2 weeks look like?
Well, not bad for harvesting in the plains and western Corn Belt. Very little precipitation expected in those areas. Remnants of tropical storm Beta will likely abate from the Delta, and so we'll end up seeing some heavy rain there today and tomorrow. 2 to 4 and local 6-inch amounts. So it's not a pretty picture for cotton in that area or any other harvesting, but it does get better after Thursday. And in the heart of the Midwest, we've got a big surge of cold air coming up next week. We'll see frost and freezes going fairly far to the south across the region. That frost that occurs will certainly help to defoliate some of the soybeans. But while we're enduring the change, we're going to see quite a bit of showers and drizzle and wind conditions occurring across the Great Lakes region and the eastern Midwest as we get involved with that colder air. So harvesting will be temporarily disrupted by the change in weather. But once we get through that period and we've had the frost and freezes around, we should be seeing some aggressive field work as dry and milder weather occurs once again.
Hey, Drew, thank you for taking so much time with me today.
You bet, and have a great week.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.